Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We've got good news. The world is open again, and people like you, people of faith, are traveling to Catholic sites around the world. Want to travel with exceptional Catholic leaders this fall, next year, or in the future? Are you looking to see specific sites, celebrate traditional Latin Mass, or travel to destinations without vaccine requirements? We are here to help you deepen your faith on pilgrimage. Give us a call at 1-800-842-4842 or visit us online at selectinternationaltours.com. Select International Tours is your pilgrimage company, and we have the perfect Catholic trip for you.
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Are things not working out for you? Do you feel as though you are constantly running into brick walls? Well, I have a solution for that. Hey, welcome to Simply Holy, a podcast for Catholics who want to grow in holiness and joy by living a simple, everyday spirituality. I'm Marge Steinhage Fenelon, and I am so glad that you are here joining me today as we chat about your purpose in life. So, when you get to the point that you feel like nothing's working out for you, it's just a constant thing, right? Everywhere you turn, you're running into a big brick wall. Every endeavor seems to fall through. If, you know, for some of us, this is a lifelong situation. For some of us, it's a temporary condition where we just go through a period where it seems like, have you ever found yourself saying, what am I doing wrong? Like, why is this always happening to me? Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's that brick wall that you keep running into. And why is that? Well, on the surface, there's probably a number of reasons. Obviously, we all have free will. We all have other factors in our lives, other game players that affects what we do and how successful we are at it. However, there's a primary cause to this that I want to look at with you today, and that is discovering your purpose in life. I'm not talking about cliche self-help kinds of things. I am talking about discovering the purpose that God has for you. God's purpose for you. You see, when things aren't working out right, my friend, it is usually because you are not following God's purpose for you. Maybe you honestly don't know what that is. Maybe you've forgotten and you need to review it. But in any case, it's this period of time where that purpose kind of escapes you and you've gotten off track. I'd like to draw your attention. I don't know if you've got your Bible out, but I do, you know, that I often refer to Scripture. I'd like to draw your attention to Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Now, the translation I like to use is the New Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. That's my favorite. I like that one. So if depending upon the version you have, it could be a little bit different, but this is it. This is Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, there are a lot of us who, when we read the book of Jeremiah or any of the prophets, we get this idea that, yeah, well, that's God talking to that prophet. But that isn't really true, because whatever God said to the prophets, he is saying to us. That's why he spoke to the prophets, quite frankly. He spoke to the prophets because he wanted that the prophets share with us his message, and his message applies to all of us. So before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. What does that mean? Well, look, before you were even conceived in your mother's womb, from actually the beginning of time, if there ever was a beginning of time, but I think you get my point. Before, way back from the very beginning of time, God had in his fatherly heart an image of you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That's what that verse is talking about. God knew every single thing about you eons before you were even created. That's astounding. But it's more than he just knew you, right? Oh yeah. So, Joe Schmo will be created in the year whatever, and he's going to look like this, and he's going to have a voice like that. No. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. That means he knew your heart already way back then. He knew your heart and all of your attributes and gifts and skills, talents. And yeah, he knew your faults and shortcomings as well. But you know what? He loved you. He loved you from way back then. Please believe that. I think many people fail in their lives because they cannot comprehend the amount of love God has for them. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Not I knew there'd be a you. No, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. What does it mean to consecrate? To consecrate something means to claim it for God, to declare it holy. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Before you were born, God claimed you for himself. He made you holy before you were born, eons and eons ago. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. He loved you so much that from the beginning of time, he claimed you for himself. He knew exactly everything about you, every little detail. Not only every detail about your mind, your body, your spirit, but every detail about your life and your life circumstances and your family and everyone with whom you associate. That's right. He knew and he loved you and he claimed you for himself. He consecrated you. And then the final line of that verse, I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, when we hear that word prophet, we immediately think that, well, my goodness, that's somebody who has to go out and tell people how bad they are and tell them what they need to do to turn back to Christ. Well, that's a small part of being a prophet. However, we are all prophets by our very being. You see, I appointed you a prophet to the nations by our Christian witness, by being ourselves in our lives and living up to our Christian ideals in practicing our faith. We are being a prophet to the nations because, for example, Catholics, we make the sign of the cross when we begin praying, or sometimes that's a prayer in and of itself, the sign of the cross. Touch our forehead, our heart, so our chest, and then each shoulder, and we make a cross over ourselves. By doing that, around other people, and I don't mean walk around making the sign of the cross all the time. I'm talking about the different situations where perhaps I do this often, you know, when I'm on the plane, I fly a lot for family reasons and then for my speaking engagements. And I'll make the sign of the cross and I will pray. I'll pray the rosary or whatever. So that's a little prophetic action that will remind people or make them think about God. It's a statement about God. I believe in this. I love God. And so I make the sign of the cross. Same thing with if you're at a restaurant or a picnic or wherever you are, to say grace, to pray before you eat. I've told this story before, but I think it's worth going back to. Hero husband and I were at an event, a public event. It was actually a lot of fun. But anyway, so it was a festival and a cultural festival in our community. And we decided since it was, you know, lots of different Asian cultures there with their food booths, we wanted to try some various foods. All right, so we got our stuff and sat down in the seating area. They had picnic tables lined up. Sat down to eat, and as we, you know, we did what we always do. We always, Hero husband and I, we always pray before we eat, start with the name of the cross, and then we pray silently. We whisper the prayer at the same time and then make the sign of the cross at the end of the prayer. Well, in any case, we did that, and we were sitting there eating, and then a family comes and sits down next to us at the picnic table right next to ours, and they were not Catholic. But I knew that because they didn't make the sign of the cross. Or if they were Catholic, they didn't make the sign of the cross. Either way, they all, the kids, the mom, the dad, before they even touched their food, they sat, they folded their hands, and out loud, the father prayed grace over the food, the blessing over the food, and the thanksgiving to God. And then they ate together. And I was so excited to see that. I was so grateful for the example of those parents and for the example of the kids for doing that as well. And so as we were, after we finished eating and that family was still there, as we were getting up and gathering our stuff to go toss the garbage away, I stopped and leaned over, not like into their food, but I mean, I leaned over the table so they could hear me. And I thanked them for their heroic, prophetic Christian witness. You see, that's prophetic. By stopping to say grace before eating in this public place, they were being prophets. They were bringing God to the nations, God to the people. That's being a prophet. You're a prophet to the nations if you refuse to participate in lewd behavior or vulgar language, on and on. I mean, there are tons and tons and tons of examples. All right, but I want to get back to the main topic, which is discovering God's purpose for you. What is my purpose? When things aren't working out for you anymore, chances are you've gotten off track of the purpose God has for you. So what do you discover? How do you discover what that is? Well, here's the thing. Remember that God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, which means he gave you particular attributes and personality traits and gifts, abilities, and so forth. So in order to understand, begin discovering your purpose, what I recommend to you is that you sit down, get a notebook for this, just a notebook designated just for discovering your purpose, God's purpose for you. And the first step is to just write down everything that comes to your mind about you. And now, please, do not hate on yourself. That is not what this is about. But you're looking for the positive things primarily. So what are your talents? What are your gifts? What are things you really like? What brings you joy? What really motivates you? What kinds of tasks do you excel at? So everything from being a good organizer, maybe you're good in music, whatever it is, everything about you, all of the good things. Are you really good at being a friend? Some people just have this natural gift for friendship, and others of us have to develop that. But whatever comes to your mind, whatever your gifts, your talents, your traits, everything, just write it down. Make a big list and just keep going. And spend as many days on that as you need to. Just keep going. You know, I mean, I don't mean day in and day out, but I mean, you know, as things come to you, give yourself maybe a week or two. And every time something comes to you, you could even give yourself a month. Every time something comes to you, write it down. Okay, this is discovery. This is time for discovery. And pay a special attention to what other people say about you, because a lot of times we miss our own gifts. You know, we don't realize that something that we do that we think is just a normal, nothing thing to do, other people see as great gifts. So take that into account as well and make that long list. Make the list. Also include what you do in life. What are the positions you hold? Are you a volunteer for an organization? Do you help out at your parish? What is your natural inclination toward employment? Now I understand with the whole pandemic debacle, a lot of folks are not working at the job that they normally work at. So, but I'm talking about what is your training? What is your normal inclination toward employment? Are you a dad? Are you a mom? Where do you fit in your family? All of these things, write it down. Write it down. Are you president of the book committee? I'm making things up. All right. But all of that stuff, write that all down. Everything about you, all of these things. And like I said, particularly the positive traits, the positive things about you. And keep going and keep going and keep going until you get to that point where, yeah, really nothing is coming forward anymore. You pretty much have it all. Well, then what you need to do is put that away for a few days and just be silent. Be silent in terms of looking for God's purpose for you. And give it up to God and say, all right, Lord, this is what I'm seeing. And if you're seeing something else, because you knew me in my mother's womb, if you're seeing something else, then please reveal that to me. And if still nothing comes, and I'll bet you something does come forward for you, but that's okay. And the best place, the very best place to do this is Eucharistic adoration. If you can get Eucharistic adoration, boy, you've got it made. That would be fantastic. And once you've got your notebook, then spend some time, designate time, because you know it's not going to just happen. Time, quiet time, just doesn't happen. You have to make it happen. You have to schedule it. You have to do this intentionally. Make time to sit with your notebook and with our Lord. And again, Eucharistic adoration is absolutely the greatest place to do this kind of spiritual work. And sit with the notebook and just allow yourself to peruse all that you've written down about yourself. Just let your eyes kind of roll over the pages and think about your life and think about where you're at. Think about the times and situations in which you really excelled. You really felt like you were on eagle's wings. You know, you're really soaring. Everything was just going along. You felt that you were fulfilled. Okay, think about those times as well. And include also in this prayer and ask Jesus to sit with you and to show you, to reveal to you his purpose for you. And you might get it right away. It may take a few times of sitting quiet like this and listening. Mostly what you need to do is just listen. Let our Lord speak to your heart. Ask your Blessed Mother Mary. Ask her to help you with this as well. Because of her closeness to our Lord Jesus, she knows you better than you know yourself. And every mom knows the child intuitively. So she knows you intuitively. So she can help you as well. Ask her to sit with you and help you to hear what her son has to say to you. And as you sit in prayer with this, there will be perhaps words. Perhaps it will be something visual, an image. Perhaps it will be a whole phrase. It will come to you. And I can't get too specific because this is such an individual process. I don't know God's purpose for you. Only you do, and only he does. And you will the longer you spend time with him. So the words that come to you, write them down. Write them down and pray over them. And I don't know how long this will take you. And God knows only. So days, a week or two, a month, again, pray over the words that came to you during that prayer time. And then formulate them into a phrase, a purpose, what you believe is God's purpose for you. And remember then that you are human, and there could be some human error involved in that. But for the most part, by this point, you'll have really gotten the gist. And so take that again, take it back to Eucharistic adoration. Take it back into prayer and give it to our Lord. Say, here it is. This is what I think it is, dear Lord. Pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, as we say. That correct me if I'm wrong. Show me where I need to tweak this. And I would dare say that fairly quickly, he will reveal to you whether and what needs tweaking. And so what you'll end up with is it's a personal mission statement of types. It doesn't have to be a whole long sentence, but you'll understand then God's purpose for you. And once you formulate it into something that sounds good to the ear and is manageable word-wise, write it down somewhere where you're going to see it often and go back to that often and pray with that. Pray with it and offer it to our Lord. And when you hit up against those brick walls, when you get to those points where it seems like everything's going wrong, look back at your personal mission statement. Some people call it a personal ideal because it's the vision God had of you from all eternity had you not ever been touched by original sin. That's what you're getting at with this. When things are going wrong, look back at your personal ideal. Look back at that and see, what is that versus what I'm doing now? And chances are you're going to realize, oh, okay, it isn't fully fitting with my personal mission statement. This is why things are going wrong. That's when you'll see the walls fall down, so to speak, and you'll start understanding what direction you need to take. I was just listening to a podcast
about a man who was sure he was going to become a rock star all his life. He was sure he's good at music. He was sure he's going to become a rock star. And it just kept going wrong, going wrong, going wrong. And the long story short is that the enlightenment came to him at some point that he was not supposed to be a rock star, but that he was supposed to use his musical talent to bring others closer to God. And so he became a Christian musician. You see the difference there. And once he did that, things exploded for him. And he prospered and is so filled with joy and sense of mission. That's what I'm talking about. And I would expect that he discovered in that process some kind of a personal mission statement, a personal ideal, his purpose. And he did even mention that he had to realize and reformulate his purpose in life, or rather God's purpose for him. So that's it. That's it in a nutshell. And I think not enough people are familiar with this process. I do work with people regarding this when I do spiritual mentoring. That's one of the main things I do, is helping folks to discover their personal ideal, their personal mission statement, because I believe so firmly in it for getting through life, basically. It's like a survival skill, you know, in many ways, but it's also a way to draw closer to our Lord and His dear Blessed Mother. So if you would like to know more about spiritually mentoring with me, if you'd like to know more about my books, where my appearances are coming up, if you'd like to bring me to your parish to do a retreat, or invite me to a conference, book me for any kind of event or speaking engagement, hey, I'm at the ready. Go to margefenelin.com. I also do things over the web. I can do internet conferences, virtual conferences. I can do virtual consultations, whatever it is you need. It's there at margefenelin.com. You can find my other podcast. You can also find my videos there, my blog. I have a gift shop. You can get some beautiful religious items to help you in your spiritual growth. So go to margefenelin.com. Thank you so very much for joining me today. And please remember that the only thing stopping you from becoming holy is the excuse you make for not pursuing it. God bless you. And may our Mother Mary protect and guide you.
This is Kevin O'Brien of EWTN's Theater of the Word. I'm excited also to teach middle school and high school literature, speech, and drama with homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. Your student can meet with me online for a live, interactive class. Whether you take apologetics with John Martinoni, or grade school with Jackie De La Viaga, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, online Catholic learning for your homeschooling family is available for you.